My guest at this time is Horace Cooper, an adjunct fellow at the National Center for Public Policy Research. He's also a member of the Project 21 Black Leadership Council. He's also spoken out in the last day or so about a new recommendation from the National Transportation Safety Board that not only suggests that states across the country ban texting while driving, and not only handheld cell phone use by driving, but even hands-free cell phone use while driving. Essentially, drivers banned from using cell phones at all, except in the cases of an emergency. And Mr. Cooper is not a big fan of this suggestion. Sir, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me on your program today.
Why do you think this is the wrong approach from the NTSB?
This is a heavy-handed approach trying to resolve a problem that hasn't even been defined clearly. If you're talking about the whole creation by the feds in the last few years of the notion that there's distracted driving, which they admit includes things like putting your makeup on, changing your contact lenses out, playing with the stereo, talking in an engaging conversation with people in your vehicle, as well as cell phone use, why is it that only the innovative, creative marvel, the cell phone of the 20th century, is what's going to be banned? And you were clear, it's not restricted in terms of limits on how you can use it, banned altogether.
What do you see as the impact of this, away from the safety on the highway argument, but just the fact that folks will not be able to have that communication if, in fact, the states decide to adopt this?
Well, I call this heavy-handed because it says that the feds know better about whether or not you and your listeners as adults can prudently decide when is it appropriate and useful for them to drive and use their cell phone. Now, that's a major, major decision on the part of the feds to try to reach into the lives of people and say, I know better than you do about those kinds of things. That's a loss of liberty. But there are two additional reasons. If your listeners say, well, you know what, I'm not that concerned about my own personal liberty, I need government to tell me more, there are two additional consequences that people are likely to see. One is, now that this rulemaking has occurred, insurance companies all over the country now are going to have open season to adopt new rider provisions restricting issuance of insurance policies or reimbursements for people who allegedly either violated a policy against using the cell phone or the cell phone was somehow related to the incident in question. If you get your insurance policy and you say you're going to use your phone and you have access to it legally, you could see as much as a $250 increase in your policy, the same way insurance companies used to offer additional rate increases for people who had radar detectors. But then there's a second problem. What about all of the states and localities across the nation who are struggling financially, who are going to see this as a huge way to fill their tax coffers by just coming up with a violation that no one could ever comply with, and as a result, fine people left and right? Today, a state like California, which says on the books that they only charge $50 for the first time offense for using your cell phone while your automobile is moving, when you add in court costs and related assessments because of the deficits that they're facing, it's nearly $250 for a first time offender caught. These two are going to hit hardworking families extremely hard and while doing very little to make a difference in terms of safety for the American public.
You've brought up a couple of very important points here, I think, that I'd like to follow up on. Number one, you mentioned a little bit earlier on, Horace, that the research into distracted driving encompasses a whole lot of things that aren't part of this recommendation from the NTSB. Is there any sort of breakdown to this data to determine how much of recent highway accidents and even fatalities are directly related to the type of activity that's being addressed here?
Well, that's precisely the problem, and I'm really disturbed that demagoguery is being more likely used as a solution than actual sound science. What we're supposed to do is break down, was it phone-related that caused this incident? In many of these distracted driving cases, all that is being determined is, was the phone available in the car? Was it on? And was there an accident? That's not the same thing as an accident actually occurred that was caused by the use of the phone. In some instances, if the passenger has a phone and it was on when the accident occurred. Again, you have an accident that they get to put in the category of related to misuse or use of the cell phone. The data does not show that the cell phone in particular is the number one greatest problem that's creating safety. What the data does show is per mile driven, we are having the lowest number of loss of lives and the lowest number of car accidents that we've had in 60 years. That's what the data actually shows, where we should be looking at how safe it is to drive these days. The heavy-handed big government types that would use the nanny state are trying to take away freedom and impose new costs on us in the name of problems that aren't likely to ensure any greater safety.
We're talking with Horace Cooper of the National Center for Public Policy Research and the Project 21 Black Leadership Council. You mentioned all the headaches that this could potentially present to folks who are driving along and need to touch base with folks, conduct business while going from one place to another and so forth, and how the states could ratchet up this money. You might have some folks out there saying, well, no state politician who has any intention of being reelected would ever vote for such a thing. But others are saying, look, back in the 1980s, a lot of states didn't want to raise the illegal drinking age to 21 either, but a lot of federal transportation dollars came along with the package here. Is that what we're going to see with this as well if the states don't adopt this?
Two bills have already been introduced, one by Mr. Schumer, Senator Schumer, and one by Senator Rockefeller, and they are going to tie your federal highway dollars to you coming to the state adopting these measures. So you're going to be seeing pressure from the feds, and you're going to be seeing pressures from localities looking for every last dollar. There's another problem as well. Whatever vestige of protection that remains for the American taxpayer to be able to drive from one location to another without law enforcement interference is going to go out the window. If you're a police officer and you see a person in the car next to you, are they singing? Are they talking to a passenger next to them? Are they talking out loud? Are they talking to a toddler who's too small for you to see? You can't determine any of that until after you've pulled them over. This kind of interference, again, is part of what I'm calling a heavy-handed approach to a problem that they have failed to properly define. It is safer now to drive on our highways than it has been probably in 60 years, and for us now to find that we're going to get more interruption, more intrusion, that to me is an outcome that your listeners ought to be greatly concerned about.
Horace, given the financial incentives involved, do you believe that this will be a fait accompli in most states, or do you think a lot of states are going to resist this heavy-handed, as you call it, approach to this?
Well, the only way that the states are going to respond in the way that's sympathetic to your listeners and then meets their needs and concerns is for them to take notice of this. If you sit back and you say, okay, I guess I don't really need my phone that much, I don't really care about this, it's likely that you'll find yourself in one of those early adopter states and find yourself in a world of hurt. Here's the interesting thing. When the airbags were first mandated in automobiles, studies were showing that a larger number of toddlers were being killed by the airbags deployment than were being saved. The feds didn't say, oops, sorry, we made a mistake, this was a bad idea. They simply went forward with new rules where you could sit the child without acknowledging that they made this kind of mistake. What do you do when the very solution for an owner who's driving his car is not to pull over, not to turn the key off, and then get on the call, but to actually be able to use the phone while they're driving because they're in an unsafe situation? Are the feds going to then come in and say, oopsie, sorry, we made a mistake, we overreacted? It's very important for your listeners to understand the cell phone is a very innovative marvel, and it provides us with a lot of usefulness and utility, both protecting us from danger and just allowing us to carry out our day more efficiently. The feds should not be interfering with our ability to prudently decide when we want to use that resource.
Passionate debate, to say the least. Horace, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me on.
Horace Cooper is an adjunct fellow at the National Center for Public Policy Research, also a member of the Project 21 Black Leadership Council. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.